Sentiment Incorporated by Paul William Anderson. Chapter 1. She was 22 years old, fresh out of college, full of life and hope, and all set to conquer the world. Colin Fraser happened to be on vacation on Cape Cod when she was playing summer stock and went to more shows than he had planned. It wasn't hard to get an introduction, and before long he and Judy Sanders were seeing a lot of each other. "Of course," she told him one afternoon on the beach, "my real name is Harkness." He raised his arm, letting the sand run through his fingers. The beach was big and dazzling white around them. The sea galloped in with a steady roar, and a gull rode the breeze overhead. "What was wrong with it?" he asked. "For a professional moniker, I mean." She laughed and shook the long hair back over her shoulders. "I wanted to live under the name of Sanders," she explained. Oh, yes, of course. Winnie the Pooh," he grinned. "Soulmates, that's what we are." It was about then that he decided he'd been a bachelor long enough. In the fall, she went to New York to begin the upward grind, understudy, walk-on parts, shoestring theaters, and roles in outright turkeys. Fraser returned to Boston for a while, but his work suffered. He had to keep dashing off to see her. By spring, she was beginning to get places. She had talent, and everybody enjoys looking at a brown-eyed blonde. His weekly proposals were also beginning to show some real progress, and he thought that a month or two of steady siege might finish the campaign. So he took leave from his job and went down to New York himself. He'd saved up enough money and was good enough at his work to afford it. Anyway, he was his own boss, consulting engineer specializing in mathematical analysis. He got a furnished room in Brooklyn and filled in his leisure time, as he thought of it, with some special math courses at Columbia. And he had a lot of friends in town, in a curious variety of professions. Next to Judy, he saw most of the physicist Swarovski, who was an entertaining companion, though most of his work was too top secret even to be mentioned. It was a happy period. There is always a jarring note, to be sure. In this case, it was the fact that Fraser had plenty of competition. He wasn't good-looking himself, a tall, gaunt man of 28, with a dark hatchet face and perpetually crumpled clothes. But still, Judy saw more of him than of anyone else, and admitted she was seriously considering his proposal and no other. He called her up once for a date. "Sorry," she answered. "I'd love to, Colin, but I've already promised tonight. Just so you won't worry, it's Matthew Snyder."
"The industrialist?"
"Uh-huh. He asked me in such a way it was hard to refuse. But I don't think you have to be jealous, honey. Bye now."
Fraser lit his pipe with a certain smugness. Snyder was several times a millionaire, but he was close to 60, a widower of notably dull conversation. Judy wasn't—well, no worries, as she said. He dropped over to Swarovski's apartment for an evening of chess and bullshooting. It was early in May, when the world was turning green again, that Judy called Fraser up.
"Hi," she said breathlessly. "Busy tonight?"
"Well, I was hoping I'd be, if you get what I mean," he said.
"Look, I want to take you out for a change. Just got some unexpected money, and damn it, I want to feel rich for one evening."
He scowled into the phone.
"I don't know." "Oh, get off it, Galahad. I'll meet you in the Dixie lobby at 7, okay?"
She blew him a kiss over the wires and hung up before he could argue further. He sighed and shrugged. Well, why not if she wanted to? They were in a little Hungarian restaurant with a couple of Zagani strolling.